Before I get into the message, I'm going to sit down and let my brother John do a drop speak and share this testimony of his time with me as an unbeliever in the early 70s and the young man that he chose to befriend when he was a young Christian himself and how he went about that. It's a touching story, and I thought it would precede what I had to say this weekend in a good way as well. John?
And I don't know you, you don't know me, so I have to say something about myself, and I can't wait to get off that topic. I've got to say that in fifth grade, I heard a Billy Graham crusade. Our family was church attenders. My grandmother was a Sunday school teacher, and she was the matriarch of the family. The grandfather was gone, dead. And she was the matriarch of the family and a great Christian witness. Our family, what's his name? Balzer Kolb. It became Kolb later on. It was one of the original settlers in eastern Ohio. They have a little monument set up, and he was one of our relatives. The Kolb side of the family, my mother, Mary Rotter, they ran her for mayor of the town. She was head of the Democratic Party back prior to the FDR and all that stuff that was going on back then. But the thing was, Christian witness at that time, the ladies in the community, these ladies networked for Christ. And while they did their other things, and while they were doing their other life, they networked. I know that my grandmother was in touch with the principal of the school that I attended, and introduced her to her husband, and she would get feedback from the principal of the school, would get feedback to these ladies in the community of any kids that didn't have, that needed hearing, they had hearing problems, needed operations, needed this, that, and the other thing, and without a word being said, money appeared, these things were done. A doctor, a Jewish doctor, Dr. Fisher, was a doctor there, and he said, if I would ever become a Christian, it would be because of Mary Rotter. And it was because of this witness. It was not totally without words. She believed in Christ. She gave her testimony, and we knew it, but it was in the person. It was, you respected all people, all the faiths, but it's in Jesus Christ that we're saved. And so I was a church attender, but I didn't know Jesus Christ or understand the means of salvation till finally I heard Billy Graham on radio again, and I understood what he was saying, the steps of coming to faith, acknowledging my sin, allowing Christ to pay he's paid the price for me. He washes me clean by his blood. I can place my faith in him to save me. Hallelujah. And I said, that's what I want. I came forward in my heart in fifth grade, and I said, I know now what it is, and that's what I want. Church is good. You need to read your Bible. You need to know the God of the Bible. We're not talking about some strange God. We're talking about the God of the Bible. You have to read your Bible to know what it, you know who he is, but then you need to know him, not just the theology. Not just the formula. We have enough formula. We don't have enough of the Lord. We need to experience the Lord. He's the living God beyond the page. You know, the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. This is the faith that we need today. And this is the faith that it's been passed down to us through others that live the faith. We need to have a better witness. We need to have a better life. But I received Christ. Now, and I thought, Dennis asked, you know, said, well, how about talk about how you shared the Lord with me? And, you know, how do you share the Lord when you're a young Christian or whatever stage of life you're at? How do you share the Lord? Doesn't matter so much. It's poorly. One word, poorly. But do it. But share the faith. You know, how many mistakes did I make? all of them. I think I made all of them. If I didn't, I just stumbled and bumbled. But the thing was, I looked over a few things last night. Shortly after I left high school and Dennis had been saved, I went to college and I wrote some terrible articles, you know, for the newspaper, but it was my witness. And I reread these. I found them before Dennis came, and I went over them. One is, you a Christian theologian. Now, isn't that a drawing? You're a theologian. You are a theologian. You go, what a title. That's really going to wow them at college. And it's like, but the topic was, Jesus said, whatever you serve is your master. So we're all theologians. All of us are theologians. It's who are you serving? Who are you serving? People will say, I have money. That's enough. I have sex, drugs, rock and roll. Is that enough? It's not enough. When I went to college and in high school, I was searching. What we needed was meaning. What is the meaning to life? In post-Christianity, which we have today, where nothing is believed and nothing is real, nothing matters. There is no meaning. This is the crisis today. To people without faith, there is no meaning. That's what we need to have life. And Christ is the meaning for life. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what I was searching for. You know, when, I was saved. I believed in the formula of what Christ did for me. But I said, there's something missing. I wasn't a disciple. I was going to church. But I didn't know that's what they were doing, was discipling me. I did learn some things. I learned some good things. But I needed disciple. I needed the scriptures put in order. I began to read the scriptures myself. And then I realized that the Holy Spirit said he'd lead us into all truth. Okay, just before I met Dennis or went further in witnessing to Dennis, I took my Bible and I was reading it on my bed in the afternoon, and then I laid it on the stand next to me and I said, you know what, if I have to understand this or know all of this before I can get to heaven, it's never going to happen. I'm too stupid. I can't know this perfectly. It's never going to happen. If it's up to me, it will not happen. So I took that Bible and I set it beside my bedstand and I felt dozed off with this problem. And I woke up and I felt like someone else was in the room with me. It was light. It was still daylight. The room was rather large and empty. But I felt someone else is here. And by the way, you're being called on the carpet. And it's like, all of a sudden I recalled, I had a slight dream. And up on there was a ball field up on a hill. I just moved to New Jersey. Dennis was already living there. And there was this ball field. And outside the ball field, there was woods. And when they would get done, the kids would all go through the woods and they would find their way to get soda, or over there it's soda, here it's pop, you know, and they would find their way to that. But they'd been there all their lives. They knew how to get through those woods. Well, they ran off and took through the woods, and I ended up stuck in the woods and then on the highway, and I had to find my way home. It took hours to get back, and I dreaded that. And I had this picture of, there's the entrance into those woods. And there was a question in my mind, and it said, how can a person go to a place they've never been before? And I thought, if this is God speaking to me, that must make sense. I wonder if it does make sense. How can a person go to a place they've never been before? Yeah, that's a good question. And it's like, well, if you've never been there before, you can't find your way. And it's like, okay, so the Lord's going to let me sit here and sweat for a while. And then all of a sudden, I had the picture in my mind. There's the entrance into the woods. There's the path. And you go, how can a person go? I'm looking at it like, I don't want to go there because I can't find my way through. and a picture, figure of light, Jesus Christ, walked into the picture and took my hand and followed that path and said, and no one can go to heaven who has been to heaven and back except Jesus Christ. He can lead us to a place we've never been before. We've never been to heaven. We've never done this before. But he can do that. And he says, his Holy Spirit, you know, we need his Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth. So at any rate, with all these things confused in my mind, Dennis, being my friend, we were just talking tonight. When did we first meet? We were in high school. We started driving around in just kind of cruising around and talking. But I think that's really what bonded us, was I began to share what I was learning from the scriptures, and most of all, meaning. Either there is meaning in life or there's no meaning. If there's no God, there's no meaning. We say, well, thou shalt not kill. If there's no God, if we're all just out of a puddle, you know, it doesn't matter. Who's to tell me we should live this way and not that way? It doesn't make any sense. But if there's a creator, then it's all, he created it. He knows. He's made a way. And he's made a purpose. Have you found it? Have you found him? It's to know him, and then you'll know your purpose in life. When I met Dennis, Dennis had a crew cut. That was not usual in 1968 or 69. Okay? And Dennis had a good sense of humor, but he was rather quiet. Not so much now. But he was rather quiet and kind of introverted, you know. You had to kind of feed him lines to draw him out a little bit. And as time went on, I found out, you know, there were a lot of difficulties in his life. And that one thing, Dennis wore real thick glasses. He's got contacts tonight. He wore real thick glasses, and he happened to tell me that, again, he was quiet, but you figure this guy is, he's just a quiet kind of guy. You know, there's nothing else going on here. And it's like, wait a minute. He said, well, one time he was at chemistry lab that's on second floor of this, a very high second floor, and a kid took his glasses, and Dennis grabbed the kid and nearly threw him out the window. And it's like, he had a lot of tension build up inside. I mean, he didn't like being picked on. Nobody likes being picked on. But if your eyesight's a problem, that was a real thing for him. And it's like, this means something to him. And also, he's been neglected, abused, you know, and he had, I didn't like some of the company that was Harvey. We mentioned Harvey tonight. But the thing, Harvey wasn't a bad guy, except he did some nasty little things. He got a kick out of being a little nasty. I go, Dennis doesn't need that influence.
He was a bad guy. Yeah.
It's not a good otherwise he'd be okay. I'd like to witness to Harvey. But Harvey, you know, you try and talk to him about doing right, and he just had this thing about him. It's like, you know what? You gotta straighten up and fly right, but you know, this is a bad influence on Dennis. And so this guy had a chip on his shoulder. Well, he was trying to get Dennis to have a chip on his shoulder. And I was just saying to Dennis, you know, people aren't, it's not that bad. It's, you know, we need to be concerned about other people and not treating them nasty or getting a chip on her shoulder. Next thing I know, Dennis has got his hair down to here. That's a, hello? What happened? I go, he was all introverted and uptight and all that. Now all of a sudden it's like, you know what? I think people have a right to, you know, they shouldn't be treated badly because of this, that, and the, well, you know, I don't have to go that far. But it's like, hey, whatever, you know, whatever, that's cool. So, but that, and then it's like, fumblingly, it's like, well, the most important thing to me was, you got to have meaning in your life. Only God puts meaning in your life. I know I've received Christ. That gives forgiveness. I'm not discipled yet. I don't know exactly what I'm doing, but you know, Christ is the reason. He's the creator. He can make a difference in your life. And the thing is, but what can he do for Dennis? What can he do for your friends, your neighbor, the person you're going to speak to, the guy at work? What can he do for them? He can do exceedingly abundant above whatever we ask or think. If you in faith, if you plant the seed, if that person begins to believe, Christ can do miracles in their life and change their life and make them a new creation. Again, you must be born again. It's new life in Jesus Christ. It's not a theory. It's not a religion. It's not a code to live by. I mean, it's those things too. But first and foremost, it's the person and work of Jesus Christ alive today and alive in you. If he's alive out there, you may believe about him. Do you believe in him enough? Do you believe in him as your Savior and Lord? Have you received him? Has he made a difference in your life? When that happened to Dennis, I won't go into the details, but he had multiple things happening with it. His mother had a piece of pork. She was having epileptic fits. And Dennis found a piece of pork stuck in her tooth that had rotted and was causing her to have epileptic fits. Solved. His dad had a problem that the Lord solved. And his brother had a problem that was solved. He had a grandfather that was living with him. That problem was resolved. All those things happen. It's like, what can Jesus, why should I, you know, what do I have to tell this person? What little is good is it going to do them? He won't do the same thing he's done for me. So how can I say, well, he did this for me, but what's that mean to you? He can do some, he's done this. Your testimony is, what has Christ done for you? Just share, and that's what I'm saying, is first and foremost, you've got to know the Lord, and you'll share what the Lord has done for you, that he's alive today, and then share what he's done for you. I mean, you do have to know some scripture to apply to yourself, but that's what you share with others, and then what has Christ done for you? And then just let people know, hey, I can't tell you what things, problems, or these other things you have, but if he did these things for me, he can do, I guarantee you, he can meet your needs. He can reach those things that I don't even know about. So all the fumbling about, well, I don't know, what would I say he's going to do? I don't know. He'll just do, he can do all these things. Put your faith in Christ. And Dennis listened, and later on, I asked Dennis, I said, you know, Dennis, I don't know how you became a Christian. The lousy way I presented this, you know, I came from this direction and that direction, and, you know, and all these things, and I gave some scriptures, but did I, you know, how did you ever become a Christian? And he said, well, he says, first of all, I could tell it was very important to you. And he goes, and it was a, and that you care. It's like, and I thought, gee, I can't tell this straight. And yet he's grasped on to things that really make a difference. It's like, you may be fumbling, you may mess it up. You might not be the easiest or the smoothest witness, and you might not have it all hammered down in this, in scriptures. But you'll give them what you have, and the Lord will help fill in the blanks. I mean, he's the one that's behind us. Thank the Lord that he's the one that will do it. And if you have your faith in him and then launch out in sharing, he'll fill in the blanks and he'll make up for these other things. But the other people will know that you care. And that makes a difference. So after that, Dennis just was on it. I went back to school. I come back on a summer and I said, well, okay, what should I do now? And the Lord said, first thing I wanted to do was see my friends from high school come back on the summer. And the Lord said, don't call any of your friends. He said, take your Bible and go up, find some place. I went out back of a shopping center where they had a big mound of dirt. And I took that Bible and I went up on the mound of dirt every morning. And I was just reading scripture and praying about this. And the Lord said, you don't call your friends. You're not going bowling. You're not going and getting ice cream or anything. Just keep yourself and do this. After the 3 weeks, it was like, now call your friends and invite them to have a, you want to have a Bible, start a Bible study. And it's like, I don't want to have a Bible study. I mean, I don't want to have a Bible study, but like we had at college with the guy that teaches the Bible study. And it's like, if there's going to be a Bible study, you're going to have it. If you don't have it, there isn't going to be one. Okay? So it's like, I don't want to. It's like, that's what you're to do. Call your friends and invite them. And I called everyone thinking, you know, I could lose a friend here. Who's going to come? Who's not going to come? Who's going to say, he's nuts? Goodbye. And Dennis came, and a number of my other friends came. And then a girl from work who was a Catholic who was searching for the Lord. And Dennis became friends and ended up going to church, similar church circumstances and all that. But at any rate, it was terrible Bible study. Well, it was wonderful to start, and then it was like, I don't have the resources for this. I'm just not capable of this. And I won't go into this story, but it was like I couldn't believe. I believed in Jesus walking on water, but then there was the matter of furlongs and fathoms. And I looked it up in the concordance. I go, you know, do your diligent study. I looked it up, and it's like, that's like miles deep. You know, it's very, very deep. It's like, I can believe the Lord walked on water near the shore or something, but not in that deep water. And I go, how can I teach this if I don't fully believe it? It's like, I don't know how to do this. And I worried about it, and I go, can I get out of it? And the time came, it's like, Lord, everything's going to fall apart. And the Bible study started, and it's like, right up to the moment, we read the passage, and I go, you know, I just realized how stupid I've been. I've been so worried about this. It's like, you can walk on water 3 feet deep. It doesn't matter how deep it is. And they all laughed, and they all agreed. And I realized, a lot of times, you know, we're hobbled by thinking it's God, we have to know it all. And sometimes we're gonna stumble over things. Our faith stumbles. And the Lord says, I'll help you. You know, keep going. And just like trying to get our kids on a bicycle, you know, and first, you know, they might fall over, but they'll only get it if you keep going. And that's the same thing that happened there. And then I went back to college, and I go, well, thank the Lord, that was great, but I'm back. I called Dennis about 2 months later. I said, how are you doing? Oh, great stuff. And he goes, and by the way, the Bible study's doing well. And I go, what? The Bible study? You know, I'm not there to teach it. He goes, well, when you left, he goes, all these people were still left. And he goes, so I just took over from there. So that's what the Lord can do. Thank you.
Thank you, John. I'll say the way John told that story is exactly the way he witnessed to me. You get the idea? That's who he is. Yeah, that's who he is, and that's how I came to the Lord. So it was buckshot, it was scattered, but it was every day, it was relentless. He got me every night. It's like, what are we going to do? Oh, let's just go drive around. And we'll talk. And we'd drive around until 2 or 3 in the morning, just talking. You know, my mother was never worried about what we were doing until 2 or 3 in the morning. She knew that talking about the Bible with John, you know? So there were no concerns.